We just sang that if we were to meet Jesus, that his eye would pierce our outward show, that he would be able to look through our lives and into our hearts and know where our hearts are. His thought, my inmost thought, would know. I pray that your inmost thought tonight is a sincere desire to improve your lives, improve your spiritual lives. And I pray that you have each offered a prayer in your hearts, that you can step aside from the activities that we've had the last few days, that you can remove from your minds the cares that you might have of your job or various activities in your lives or things that are concerning you, that you might wipe that slate clean and that you might be prepared to hear the holy and precious word of our Lord, that you might be ready to take these tools that the Lord has given us through his holy word and put them to use in your lives. I'm sure that our brother Frank has prepared. I'm sure that he has prayerfully studied. And we would be doing him and the Lord a great disservice if we don't pay very, very careful attention to everything he has to say tonight. I give you our brother, Apostle Frank Pham.
Thank you, Brother Dan. Good evening, brothers and sisters. It's nice to be here. I don't know that it's so nice to be here, but it's nice to be among you. I don't have a whole lot to say tonight, so we may get out early. But I do have a few thoughts that I'd like to bring to you tonight. I waited. All this week in anticipation of either one of the speakers or one who got up and testified, and I waited and I waited for something to happen, and finally this morning our brother Charles Brentner got up and said what I'd been waiting for all week. Do you know what yesterday was? What was yesterday? April 6th. And what happened on April 6th? Right. The church was organized. It was restored. And brothers and sisters, that should be a marvelous event in your and my life. Is it? Is it the event that it should be? I have a fear within my heart that we, the older generation, have failed the younger generation. Until this morning, not one person mentioned the restoration of the Church of Christ and the importance of that great event. You know, Christ, when he was here on earth, he established a church. He established a church. And that church flourished. You know, when I talk about this in the Philippines, it usually takes me 2 days, Jay? 2 days to give this, and I'm going to give a thumbnail sketch of the Church of Christ. because I believe it is important. And you might be thinking, well, that's pride, to be proud of the Church of Christ. No, it's humbling. It's humbling to me to be able to be a part of this great work, this Church of Christ. And to realize the responsibility that it places on you and I. Yes, you and I. It's not only the responsibility of the apostles to carry this Church of Christ abroad. It's not only the responsibility of the ministry to talk about the Church of Christ and being restored again on this earth. It is the responsibility of every one of you sitting here tonight. And have you taken your responsibility serious? Do you realize the importance of your belonging to the Church of Christ? I'm going to tell you something, and I want you to prove me wrong. There is no other church in the world today that is like the Church of Christ. None. We are different. Do you realize that we're different? Do you realize that of all the hundreds of churches there are in the world, that we are unique? We are, brothers and sisters, that peculiar people that's talked about in the Scriptures. That peculiar people. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 28. Now what this is, it's just a little glimpse of what the Church of Christ should be like, what it should look like, what it should have in it. Now, I could go into all the details, and I could keep you here for 2 days talking about the church that Christ set up. But for the lack of time and for brevity's sake, let's turn to chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians and start at the 28th verse. It says, "And God has set some in the church." God did this. God is in control of the church. God is the one through Christ who set it up while Christ was walking here on earth. God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, government, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. These are some of the things, just a very few, that God placed in his church when it was organized back in Jerusalem in Christ's time. And that church flourished. And when Christ arose and went into heaven, his apostles carried on that church. I'd like to turn over to Matthew, the 4th chapter. And start reading at verse 18.
to show that Christ did what God commanded, that he set up a church. Starting with the 18th verse in chapter 4. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. What was Jesus doing at that time? He was calling those brothers. Those brothers didn't go to seminary. Those brothers didn't come to Jesus and say, I want to follow you. He called them to him. So we see that there was apostles in the church. And this was just one of the calling of the 12. Just one call. But Christ called into the church first apostles. And were there prophets in the church, like is said in Corinthians, the 12th chapter? Yeah, I think so. How about John the Revelator? Was he a prophet? Absolutely, he was a prophet. Look, at there are some things that's already come to pass within the book of Revelation. Secondarily, prophets. Were there miracles within Christ's church as he set up? Let's turn to Acts. The book of Acts. The 13th chapter. Starting with the 6th verse. And when they had gone through the isle of the Pathos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes upon him and said, O fool, full of all subtlety and mischief, thy child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Miracles. God put miracles in the church in Christ's time. And how about the gifts of healing? Again, let's turn to Acts. The 3rd chapter. Starting with the 1st verse. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the 9th hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they had laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called it beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, with John said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Were there healings within Christ's church? Absolutely. Absolutely. And how about the gift of tongues? Again, let's turn to Acts. In the second chapter, starting with the first verse. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance." Tongues were a part of the Church of Christ that he set up for himself. How about Revelation? Was Revelation a part? Let's go to Matthew. The 13th chapter. Sorry, 16th chapter. Starting with the 13th verse. "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.' And he said unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven.'" Revelation. Does anyone here doubt that Christ set up his church when he walked the earth? Any doubt? I don't think so. I believe that each one of you here tonight will attest to me that Christ had a church, and that church was in operation. But what happened? What happened to that church? Started drifting, didn't it? Man's ideas started coming into the church. False doctrine reared its ugly head and become part of the church. Well, it wasn't overnight. It wasn't overnight, or it wasn't even over a year or over 2 years. It was over a long period of time. But if we read prophecy, we'll see it was foretold that that was going to happen. And finally, God withdrew from the earth the authority of the church was withdrawn, taken away into the wilderness. Scripture says it was kept there for 1260 years. And then what happened? What happened April 6th, 1830? And thus of the people of this generation, harden not their hearts, I will work a reformation among them. And I will put down all lying and deceivings, and priestcrafts and envies, and strifes and idolatries, and sorceries, and all manner of iniquities. And I will establish my church like unto the church which was taught by my disciples in the days of old. I will establish my church again. Again. We had a church in Christ's time. And that church had apostles, prophets, teachers, help, God, miracles, healing, tongues. I challenge you, especially the young, find that church today. Find that organization today. Maybe if we look a little bit, we can find for that organization today. Do we know any church that has apostles at the head? Do we? No. How about the Church of Christ restored April 6, 1830? Does it have apostles at its head? How about that? It does. How about prophets? Now, this is what I said. I said, not prophets. Is there prophets within the Church of Christ? If I am not mistaken, we just okayed a prophecy, didn't we? In the widest sense of the view, it was a prophecy. It was telling what was going to happen. Isn't that what a prophet does? Where did you find it? Within this Church of Christ today. How about healers? Probably you could tell me more stories than I can tell you about healers. But I'm going to tell you a couple. Both of them happened in the Philippines. One I was involved in, another one I wasn't. Brother Mike and I was asked to go out and administer to a lady. And we traveled some distance from the town of Compostela to a little shack that's set by a rice paddy. We went into that home. There was a ladder that went up to a little bitty vault. Not really big enough for a person, not big enough for me. But up there in that loft, we found a little bitty Filipino lady. The people in the house didn't. That lady has not gotten out of that pallet 3 days. Hadn't moved for 3 days. We had a word of prayer, and we administered to that lady. And I thought, I don't know what Mike thought, but I thought when I walked down there, she would probably be dead in a day or so, and we see this so much in the program. And I climbed down the ladder and turned around and started talking to the people there that were assembled in the home. And I turned around and here comes that lady. First time in 3 days she's gotten off that couch. Is that a healing? Yeah, it sounds like one to me. And where did we find it? Within the Church of Christ. Restored to the light of day. Our brother, Elder Felicio Alvarez, believes in healing by the laying on of hands. But in his humanness, he thought it was only somebody else that was involved. He'd seen a Brother Mosier, Brother Brentner, Mike and myself, and minister to people, and seeing results and blessings that these people were having. And he thought, the missionary, you did. And then one day, one of the ladies from the mountain cried, brought a young boy, 4 or 5 years old, carrying this boy in her arms with a raging fever. A fever so hot that Fernandio said when you laid his hand on it, it almost burnt him. The eyes were vacant. The body was limp, listless. Brother Felicio, let me tell you, and start the prayer of faith. And before he would finish, the fever vanished. The eyes snapped open. They were bright. He sat up and jumped off of the mother's lap and started running around. It's about a healing. Is that something that should be found within the Church of Christ today? It was. It is found within the Church of Christ today. We are His church. And what a responsibility that it puts upon you and I. About tongues. Maybe some of you young people have not heard tongues within the Church of Christ. I have. And a lot of the older people here have too, and can stand and testify about hearing Brother Al Smith, Brother Tom Martin, Brother B.C. Flint, speaking tongues and having the interpretation of those tongues. I've never spoken tongues, but I did have an experience. I was in the Philippines with Brother Brantner and Brother Moshe. We were at a place called Mount Carmel. We had a sacrament, and we had a prayer and testimony service. I was feeling very discouraged. Very discouraged. Feeling that my efforts were so meager. Feeling that I was failing in doing my duty to the Philippines. Contemplating never going back. This lady from Tavila, little mountain village, stood up and started bearing her testimony, and she was speaking in Cebuano. That was only the third time that I had been in the Philippines, and I couldn't understand anything at that time. Gibberish. As they say, it was all Greek to me. And as I was sitting there, my mind was wandering because I couldn't understand what the lady was saying. So my mind was wandering, and all of a sudden, I knew what she was saying. It was as plain to me as you talking to me. And she said she had belonged to another church. And she thought it was the right church. And she was happy with that church and really didn't want any other. But she says the missionaries of the Church of Christ came. I checked with our interpreter, Demetrio, later. That's what she said. Exactly what I heard. Tongues were in the early church, and we have them today in this restored Church of Christ. We are a different church. We're not like the hundreds of other churches out there. We have things that set us apart. And if it weren't for those things, brothers and sisters, that set us apart, we wouldn't be Christ's church. We might as well be a Methodist or a Baptist or any other thing that you can think of. But young people especially, you belong to the Church of Christ, restored and full service. 1830. Is it something to be proud of? You betcha. Because you have a privilege to be a part of Christ's kingdom here on earth.
part of a great marvelous work that is just beginning for you. We have revelation within this church today. The same as we had revelation in the old church. Every time that there is a calling, it's a revelation of God to His people. We were praying in the Philippines for more ministry. We have three elders there. And we were praying for more. We had a church-wide prayer service. And Brother McGee was given the names of three people who will be called into the offices in the Philippines. That's revealment. That's revelation. And where do you find that revelation? Within the Church of Christ. And if you go into other churches of the day and ask them about revelation, they will just smile at you. But if a church does not have revelation in it, it cannot be Christ's church. If it doesn't have the gift of tongues in it, it cannot be Christ's church. If it doesn't have apostles that it said, it cannot be Christ's church. I challenge you to look at the world churches today and bring to me someone who will fit that description. You will find one when you're sitting in it tonight. You are a part of it tonight. The true Church of Christ. And since we have that true Church of Christ, what should we do with it? What should we do with it? Nourish it. Obey it. Follow its doctrine and creed. You know, we had a recorder's report. And I think that recorder's report showed a few baptisms here within the United States. More in Africa, more in the Philippines. It puts a responsibility upon every member sitting here in this pews tonight. And I challenge you to pick out one of your friends and neighbors or acquaintances or relatives. Just one. I don't know how many people are here tonight, but think of this. We could double the number in here next year if just one person you would bring into the church. Spend a year working on that one person. Make it your life's work to convert that person to the true Church of Christ. And then we could have numbers here in the United States that would match the numbers or even surpass the numbers that we have in the Philippines and we have in Africa. That's what you can do. That's what you can do with that privilege that you have of belonging to the Church of Christ. No, not only a privilege, a responsibility. Responsibility, not only to the church, but a responsibility to your God. We have a responsibility to study. And I know that you older ones here in the congregation can probably tell the story of the church much better than I. We have a man in the Philippines. And he took upon himself to learn this outline of church history. And then he taught a class on it. And at the end of the week, after a series of classes, he gave a test. Brother Mike and I were standing in the back of the congregation. I looked at him and said, I'm glad I'm not taking that test. The people in the Philippines are going to know more about your church, our church, than we do. Study it. You're going to have to defend it. You're going to have to tell people where you come from. You're going to have to stand up and say, I believe that this is the church of Christ, and this is why. Brother Ben Retinell in the Philippines can tell you. He can tell you all about our history and why we are the Church of Christ. We need to be proud of the fact, and I'm talking about not the pride of heart, but proud humbly, of the fact that we are different. You know what has happened to other churches of the Restoration? They weren't happy because they were different. They wanted to make them the same as the rest of the world. We are different, and we should be able to point out to the world those differences and why they exist. And then lastly, each one of us. Each one of us needs to live our lives in such a way that we'll be able to say, I'm truly a member of the kingdom of Christ here on earth. Member of his church. I'm going to close with a poem by Helen Steiner writes. It's called Anticipation. And that's what I'm filled with. Filled with anticipation. Those great, marvelous works that God is going to bring about. We are going to be a part of each one of you. God gives us a power we so seldom employ. For we're so unaware, it is filled with such joy. The gift that God gives us is anticipation, which we can fulfill with sincere expectation. For there's power in belief when we think we will find joy for the heart, peace for the mind. And believing the day will bring a surprise is not only pleasant, but surprisingly wise. For we open the door to let joy walk through when we learn to expect the best and the most too. And believing we'll find a happy surprise makes reality out of fanciful surmise. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brother Finn. I hope you all did pay careful attention.